Catholic commentary. Spiritual warfare. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Jesus 911.
Patrol Jesus 911, two-man car, Jess Romero, Dr. Dan Schneider, all things spiritual warfare on Wednesdays. I want to remind you that the month of February, for us as Catholics around the world, it is the month where we focus on the passion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It would be a good thing to try to find some time during the month of February, we're almost done, to go into the Stations of the Cross. In fact, if you can't get to the church for some reason, you can do the Stations of the Cross at home. Get a book, or it's even on your iPhone. And also another thing that I would recommend is I'm praying the Seven Sorrows of Mary every day for the month of February. And so that's what I'm doing to meditate on the Passion of the Christ. Well, Dan, welcome to the show, by the way.
All right, Jesse. How's it going? I'm 10-8 for Jesus today.
All right, we're 10-8. There's a lot of questions that I want to cover and stuff, and we want some good in-depth answers. We're waiting for a phone call from Steve Perez. He's a retired sergeant from the LA Sheriff's Department, and he's one of our sidewalk counselor warriors out there in Southern California. Mr. Engineer, is Steve on? Okay, just let me know when he comes back. Dan, I just want to just do an old prayer. Right now is the year of St. Joseph. I want to do an old prayer to St. Joseph. It's an ancient prayer as we get into today's topic. Got Steve on? Steve, welcome to the Jesus 911, retired law enforcement. Welcome to the show, Steve.
Hi, Jesse. Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it. Well, I'm not here curbside at the 40 Days for Life, so there's a little noise in the background, so I apologize for that.
Okay, no problem. Well, you called in the right day because we got Mr. Encyclopedia here on all things spiritual warfare. So, just fire away any questions that you want to ask Dr. Dan Schneider. I kind of know where you're going with this. So you're out there at the 40 Days for Life.
That's correct.
What concern do you have? You were talking to Ruben the other day and you emailed him. What concern do you have as somebody going out there praying in front of the abortion clinics that you have for Dr. Schneider?
Yes, good morning, Dr. Schneider. Hello
good morning.
To you. I apologize. Thank you for being on and for being responsive to my request, because there's a whole aspect of the pro-life movement that I think that kind of gets ignored a bit, or at least gets pushed to the wayside and doesn't get as much attention as it is needed, and that's the spiritual warfare aspect of it. And I worry about it, not so much for me, but I worry about it for the people who are unaware of it, the good prayer warriors that come out here. We kind of experienced something involved with that. At the 40 Days in Pomona, last week we had a couple of self-proclaimed witches that came out with their multicolored flag. I'll just leave it at that. And they were dancing around, and I think they were trying to disrupt what we were doing. And we're a peaceful, prayerful vigil. We welcome everyone, and I welcome them. I said, thank you for supporting the pro-life movement. You know, everyone's welcome. We hate no one. We simply abhor the killing of babies, of unborn infants. And with that, they just kind of ignored us, kept chanting, praying, dancing around. And so we started praying, and there were some non-Catholic Christians, some Protestants that were there as well. And they started praying over them in the name of Jesus. And, you know, that was great. You know, they were praying, and we started praying Hail Marys, and really didn't have much effect. But some other knights showed up. There's several knights from local parishes that show up, particularly on Fridays when it happened, because that's the surgical abortion day here at this facility. They showed up, and I said, okay, fellas, I've had enough of this. Let's get the big guns out. Get out your rosaries. We're going to pray a rosary. And as soon as we started praying the rosary, these two young women, the shorter one in particular, really started getting agitated. She started hopping around, and she was yelling, raising her voice, turning back towards us, because they had their backs towards us initially, and we kind of formed a semicircle of prayer. And she really got agitated, you could tell, as we were praying, as we started our prayer. We got done with the first decade, and by the time we got to that point, they had enough, and they actually left in a big hurry, almost running away from us because they couldn't stand it anymore. Of course, we finished the rosary, but they didn't even stay to the end. They couldn't stand it. But my point being, I really was just concerned because I know that from reading Jesse's book, his compilation of prayers for spiritual warfare, Lord, Prepare My Hands for Battle, which is a wonderful book. Everyone should get it. We prayed some prayers of protection. One of the brother knights here also had a website called Exorcism App, and I wasn't too sure about that because I know we have to be very careful about the type of the prayers that we pray. So my question to you, Dr. Schneider, is what should we be doing? Is there a regimen that we should follow? And what should your average pro-life on the sidewalk, just praying, minding his own business, but wanting to make an effect change? What should we be doing?
Yeah, first of all, thank you for your great work. The guys that are doing the pro-life work, it's absolutely necessary. These are frontline warriors, so we appreciate what you guys are doing all over the country. I know there's abortions being at Abortion Day today in our local area as well. A few years ago, a clinic opened up, and I joined the 40 Days for Life over there, and that was the first time I'd ever really – almost every time I went, I was getting the horns by drive-by people, and they saw the same type of stuff you're experiencing. But I think it's ratcheting up now because of – governmental laws are getting more and more pro-death, pro-abortion, which is enabling and empowering the demon to go even stretch even further into this realm. The most important thing is to stay in a state of grace. Experienced witch knows that she or he should not curse a holy person or a holy priest because the curse will return to them. Knowing that. Our protection is in our state of – staying in a state of grace is our absolute protection against curses. So if you're in a state of grace and you're living a holy life, closing off any portals or entryways, any weak spots in virtue, faults in our personalities, et cetera, confessing on a regular basis, that's the most important thing. As Jesus says many times, some of the manuscripts and some of the from Scripture says that this type only comes out through prayer and fasting, showing us the secret in spiritual warfare is both prayer and fasting, offering up small little sacrifices for the protection of your team, sacrifices for any woman debating abortion that day that they might be deterred. Just praying. Remember, the angels go where they're asked, and the demons go where they're not resisted. So you have to start offering you're offering resistance physically, but you have to, number one, offer spiritual resistance by being in a state of grace. I think the second thing is it goes deeper is to understanding natural law and natural law authority. So some of the prayers that we pray – like I pray before every show, there's a book here, Prayers for Deliverance Prayers for Use by the Laity. It's put out by Father Ripperger and Sanctus Fidelium Press. So understanding in the opening is a whole teaching on authority, imprecatory versus deprecatory. Those are $5 terms that basically mean imprecatory in the name of Jesus, I bind, deprecatory, may Jesus bind. So you're at an abortion clinic. When do we have natural law authority, or where is our natural, the lines of our natural law authority? It's over ourselves, our body, our space that we're in. This is why we can pray certain prayers in a hotel room, for example, because we have a certain natural law authority over our where we are in time and space, also over our families, over our wives and our children, and also over our temporal goods. And these are the three areas that we can use imprecatory authority over. You're standing in front of the clinic. You don't own the property. You don't want to start binding demons in the space, in the air, in the gravity, or whatever, because you don't have the authority to do that. The owner of that property, as well as the proprietor of that business, will have the natural law authority there. So you'll get into a fight. The only person that would have the authority there would be the local bishop, and he could mandate that to a priest. Father Ripperger has said, I've heard him say on several occasions, where a priest authorized by his bishop has done 30 days of the rite of exorcism in front of, or just chapter 3, in front of an abortion clinic, because the bishop has a certain level of natural law authority there in his diocese, has helped close those clinics down. But at the same time, those priests who don't who pray chapter 3, which is the prayer of exorcism against fallen angels, without the authority of their bishop. That's something canon law says the bishop has to give that authority to. He's outside of authority, even a priest. So understanding the nuances of authority, because remember, as Father says, demons are lawyers from hell. They know the natural law perfectly. So the email that I got from I think it was from your team, was that they prayed this prayer, besides the rosary, they prayed this prayer, the perimeter prayer. It's on page 39 of my book.
Yeah.
So if you look at that prayer versus, say, the prayer of authority, which is page 15, in the name of Jesus Christ, I ask thee to bind in silence. Okay, it's deprecatory, so it's safe, but you're asking Jesus to bind the air, the water, the ground, another world, nature, and the spiritual world. You're on property that you don't own. That's a prayer that I'll pray when I'm on holy ground or you know, at a church, or I'm doing an intake or something at the parish hall, or in the office at church, or my own property that I own. But when you're on someone else's property, the safe prayer you guys walked into this thing was a perfect prayer to pray, because you're praying where you do have authority, which is over yourself, even though you're on somebody else's property in front of a place that grave evil is taking place. So this is a defensive prayer. You know, and in the military, I'm a former military officer, so we have offensive and defensive weapons. This is a perimeter prayer that lays out a defensive perimeter for a spiritual perimeter around you. And Lord Jesus Christ, again, it's always invoking the name of Jesus Christ. And I love and mercy establish a perimeter protection around me and our team, or whoever you prayed, all of our loved ones, etc. You ask that no demonic bondage, portal, demon, whatever, enter within 100 space. That's gonna lay down some defensive fire. But then we'll get into the offensive next after that. But that's kind of the background. Those are the two prayers that go into it, and then we can get into the next segment. I'll get into the next part.
Steve, awesome. Stick around so we can continue this conversation. You're listening to Jesus 911 Three-Man Car, talking about how to protect ourselves when we go to an abortion clinic.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Get involved with 40 Days for Life. Anybody who is involved in 40 Days for Life, these are the most fearless Catholics in my book, because anybody praying in front of an abortion clinic is doing hand-to-hand combat with the diabolical. And so, God bless you, man. What an incredible way to spend Lent. Dan, we're talking with Steve Lopez. He's out there in Southern California. He's part of 40 Days for Life. And again, he's asking how he should stay protected, him and the people that are going out there to the abortion clinic. How do they stay protected? You mentioned Father Ripperger's prayer on page, the perimeter prayer, which is on page 39 of his book. Can you read that prayer and just break it down and show us where the protection lies?
Sure. There's two of them. There's A and B. I always, for whatever reason, gravitate to letter B. Lord Jesus Christ, in thy love and mercy, establish a perimeter protection around, you know, whoever you name this person and myself, all of our loved ones, those who pray for us and their loved ones. May thy holy angels guard us and all our possessions, establishing a perimeter protection around us. Okay, rendering us immune from any kind of demonic influence. So at the beginning, you're establishing a perimeter protection, but you're also establishing, you're praying according to the limits of your authority, your possessions, your family, right? Your loved ones, yourself. I ask that no demonic bondage, door, portion, demonic entity, portal, astral projection, or disembodied spirit may enter the space of 100 yards in all direction of us. Again, number two, if you go down the checklist, Father would talk very clearly and specifically about three things that the demon checks when you're praying spiritual warfare prayers. First, does this person have requisite authority? If you don't have requisite authority, the demon does not have to obey. He may obey because of the name of Jesus and the authority and the power you have in the name of Jesus as a baptized Christian, but you could expose yourself to retaliation. If you have requisite authority, the demon must obey. Temporal goods, your spouse, your wife, your children, that sort of thing. And also yourself, your space, your interior space, you have full authority there. Number two is the state of grace. What's the level of merit? We talked about that as well. And number three, the prayers themselves. The third thing, what is this person actually praying? And so, the saying is that the prayer begets what it signifies. So here, we're getting what we signify, what we ask for. You're you're asking, and you're specifically talking about demonic bondages, demonic doors, portions, entities, portals, astral projections, disembodied spirits may enter the space of 100 yards in all direction of us. I ask that demons within this vicinity or any that should try to enter here be rendered deaf, dumb, and blind. So now you're projecting a prayer of severing to keep the demons from communicating with each other, calling in reinforcements, etc. That thou would strip them of all weapons, armor, power, illusions, and authority. That thou would bind, rebuke, and disable them from communicating or interacting with each other in any way. Removing them, sending them directly to the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ, thy Son, the Son of the Most High, and I ask this in thy most glorious and holy name. Amen. So you can see you walking down with right authority. This prayer is perfectly safe for Christians to pray. Also, one other thing, as a pre-battle, you know, the Romans would, before they went into battle, they would lather them, their bodies up, actually. We know that it's hard, you know, as an ex-fighter, and Jesse, you too, they put Vaseline, right? Why do they put Vaseline? So the glove doesn't slide, or glove doesn't stick and cut your skin. Right. So Vaseline is used for battle. Catholic pre-fight to keep cuts down. Another prayer is at the very, very first prayer of this book. It's a sealing prayer. This is a prayer that we use before going into to any session, particularly solemn session. This is prayed by the priest or deacon, and he will seal the lay people that are present in an exorcism session. So what it does is you basically get blessed oil, blessed by a priest, and then you anoint yourself. And here's your prayer. I ask Jesus to seal me in his most precious blood against any and all incursions of the evil one, in particular against any clinging, familiar, or retaliating spirits in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If there's a priest or deacon present, he can anoint those present. If not, anoint yourself. And if you're there with your spouse, you can anoint her or your children. And what we'll do is make the sign of the cross with oil over our forehead. And then we like to touch our eyes, our ears, our lips, our noses, and you know, where the sensory receptive body parts are, so that they're protected as well. A sealing prayer is another very good prayer I just thought about that's effective. And so that prayer perimeter is fine to pray as you saw. Any questions on beforehand?
No, you're actually covering all the topics I had questions on.
Okay.
Very, very well. Thank you.
And then afterwards, there is prayers for protection against retaliation is one. It's right after this prayer of perimeter prayers, page 39. You should pray this prayer before you leave. Jesse and I will, especially when we do a very hot topic here on the radio, I'll text Jesse. I'll say, hey, man, make sure you police up your brass. Policing your brass is what we do at the gunnery range, right? When you go down to small arms range and you got to pick up your brass, you don't leave your brass laying around, right? So policing up your brass means the final work you got to do before you go home. Policing up your brass in the spiritual realm is making sure you do the prayers of protection against retaliation. And so at the end of the session, you know, before you go home, Lord Jesus Christ, in your love and mercy, pour thy precious blood over me or us so that no demon or disembodied spirit may retaliate against us. Mary, surround us with thy mantle, blocking any retaliating spirits from having any authority over us. St. Michael, surround us with thy shield so that no evil spirit may take revenge on us. Queen of Heaven and St. Michael, send down the legions of angels under your command to fight off any spirits that would seek to harm us. All you saints of heaven, impede any retaliating spirit from seeking to influence us. Lord, thou art the just judge, the avenger of the wicked, advocate of thy just. We beg in thy mercy that all we ask of Mary, the angels and saints of heaven, be also granted to our loved ones, those who pray for us and their loved ones, that for thy glory's sake we may enjoy thy perfect protection. Amen. So you're praying a prayer against retaliation, closing off any retaliation. Sometimes we've seen teams be retaliated against, and it isn't that there's anything unholy taking place. It's just that they keep forgetting to pray this prayer, and the Lord is letting the retaliation happen to teach them the lesson. You've got to police up your brass at the end of when you go down to the range.
Dad, let me jump in just to make it simple. As you're talking to Steve and anybody else, so there's three prayers that somebody's going out there. And because this is high level stuff going in front of an abortion clinic, because there's people that are involved in the occult there, especially now under the Biden administration, the witches and the sorcerers, you know, feel empowered. So before Steve goes out there, there's a sealing prayer. And then also when he gets out there, he does that perimeter prayer. Then they do their prayers in front of the abortion clinic.
Just, as long as you know that your intention isn't to put a perimeter around the abortion clinic or a perimeter around other people, is a perimeter around yourself. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then after they're done, that prayer of protection after they're done. So basically what you're telling Steve.
Purpose retaliation.
Yeah, there's three prayers that that they want to do so they can armored up as they're going out there to, at the abortion clinic. And by the way, I recommend everybody get this book, Deliverance Prayers for Use by the Lady. It's a very thin book. It's by Father Chad Ripperger. Very thin book. High-level prayers. This is for serious Catholics, not for baby Catholics. And anybody out there in front of an abortion clinic is a serious Catholic. So, Dan, did I...
And Jesse, your book as well.
Oh, yeah.
Your excellent book as well.
I got some good stuff in there on a state of grace. I'm top heavy on that. You have to live a holy life, and you got to live in a state of grace. You're going to be involved in this stuff. Dan?
Yeah, if you're not in a state of grace, you're vulnerable. You're vulnerable to curses. Again, you're seeing what the other side is doing. They're coming out and they're emboldened by policy, by the factors, so that lack of public masses, lack of sacramental grace pouring into each diocese. So all these factors are causing an empowerment of the other side, the enemy. So also against curses. Just to be safe is another prayer on page 24, prayer for protection against curses, harm, and accidents. Again, notice if you're not in a state of grace, you're vulnerable to curses. So state of grace is important. The three checks for prayer. What's the demon's checklist? Am I going to respond to this prayer? Does this person have requisite authority? What is his merit? Meaning, what is the depth of his state of grace and the depth of his holiness? And then the third is, what are the prayers themselves? Because prayer begets what it signifies. So this one, you're going to pray this for yourself and your family. This is a good one to pray even every day, especially if you're on a regular cycle going to the clinic. Lord Jesus, I ask you to protect my family from sickness, from all harm, and from accidents. If any of us has been subjected to any curses, hexes, or spells, I beg thee to declare these curses, hexes, or spells null and void. If any evil spirits have been sent against us, I ask Christ to decommission you. And I ask that you be sent to the foot of his cross to deal with as he wills. Then, Lord, I ask you to send the holy angels to guard and protect all of us. So that's another good prayer, offline. That's like cleaning the weapon, so to speak. You know, you can't just go to the range, put your weapon away back in the armory. What happens? You got to sit there for an hour and a half and clean your weapon, right? So before you turn it in. So this is the same thing when you're not in session, praying these prayers against any retaliation, praying prayers against curses. Yep. There's other prayers. I won't read them. For the sake of time, I won't read them, but there's other prayers.
Well, Steve, you got any other questions? I mean, Dan's giving you a college course here.
Yeah, no, that's excellent. Excellent information. And I want to just let all the 40 Days for Life leaders as well be aware of this and take heed, because I know there are probably curses coming my way. They knew my name, by the way, so I'm sure I'm on the receiving end of it. And I do see some strife at home and strife in other places, and equipment failures and things like that almost every time. And we have to be aware. We have to totally be aware. You know, before I was aware of all this, I was kind of like a chimpanzee playing with a hand grenade. You know,
and all of us went through that. Yeah. Yeah, and it's like Jumanji, that's what, yeah.
Yeah, and we have to be aware. This is demonic. I love that, I'll try not to take too much time, but just very quickly, I love that the story of Zachary King. I think you had him on your radio show, Jesse, in the past. He talks about his conversion from the satanic, church to Catholicism. And he tells us, he says, you know, they consider abortion a satanic sacrifice. Mm-hmm. This is absolutely satanic. There's demons involved. We have to be aware and use the proper protocol and to take the protective measures spiritually to battle this. Otherwise, we open ourselves up to who knows what. So everything that the good doctor said, please, everyone, I implore you to please do what he says. Listen to it. Get the resources. Get the manuals. It really is a matter of life and death spiritually.
Yeah. Here's a safe prayer for you to pray always. It's Psalm 91, claim Psalm 91 protection. That's a pretty complete prayer, whether it's before or after, you go to the abortion clinic, even there, to pray that prayer. It's a very effective prayer that's been used by by the Jews over the diabolical for 1,000 years before Christ. So that's another prayer that I would recommend to throw into your toolbox is Psalm 91. Dan?
Yeah, that's the soldier's psalm, and I prayed that many, many times in Saudi Arabia and Iraq. So that again, when you're there, you're projecting these things, projecting that prayer of protection, prayer of victory. That's a great prayer to pray as well. I've got one more thing for post-prayer. We can do that in the next segment if you have time. If not, we can move on.
Stick around, Steve. One more segment.
Okay, we'll do.
All right. Jesus 911, three-man car. You don't want to miss what's up. Good stuff.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, three-man car, Dan Schneider, Jess Romero, Steve Lopez. We're talking about how to armor up before we go to an abortion clinic. We got Steve on the line who's calling up from an abortion clinic right now. Let me just share a quick story to show you the power of prayer. When I was in Southern California, I was involved in 40 Days for Life for about 10 years before I moved here to Phoenix, Arizona. One day in front of the abortion clinic, myself, the priest, we were the only two men there, and there was probably about a dozen women that were there. This one guy starts cruising by very slowly. He's a biker guy. He's got all these patches on himself. I forgot what biker gang he was from. But he started flipping us off, and he started driving at about 2 miles an hour. So I'm saying, big deal. It happens all the time. Then all of a sudden, he makes a U-turn, comes back, and he's flipping us off, and he parks it. I said, okay, this ain't good. We have a priest here. I'm supposed to protect the priest. And we got 12 women here. I'm the only guy here. I said, okay, I guess I'm going to have to step up. This guy parked the bike, got off. And now he's dropping F-bombs. He's got full Tourette syndrome, and he's looking right at me. He's looking past the priest. He's looking past the 12 women that are there, and he's walking right at me in a very aggressive manner. I said, okay, here it is. I mean, all I want to do here is pray for God's grace to fall upon these women and change their heart. And here's some guy who wants to slug it out because I'm praying. So as he's walking towards me, and he's cussing, as loud as he can, he's shouting curse words into the air. And I said, all right, two can play at that. So I kind of looked at him, and I got in a self-defense position because he's white, he's walking towards me. I said, okay, I'm not going to let him, get too close. I'm going to have to use offensive measures to push him back. So I started praying the rosary loud, just like he was saying the F word loud. So he was cursing at me loud. I'm now shouting the Hail Mary and the Our Father with the beads up in the air. As he gets about 5 feet in front of me, I'm thinking, okay, here it is. I'm going Fifth City here in front of an abortion clinic. This is the last thing I expected. All of a sudden, he stopped. His face completely changed. There was this peace that flooded his face. His countenance changed from an angry dude that wanted just to rip my head off because I'm praying in front of an abortion clinic. All of a sudden, he looked like St. Francis of Assisi. Just a peace overcame his entire body. He looked at me, and he said, I'm sorry. Made an about face, got back on his hardy, and drove off. Trust me, he wasn't afraid of me. He wasn't afraid of 12 women. He wasn't afraid of the priest. Something happened within the midst of me praying those prayers and praying them with confidence and projecting them into the air that caused him. I mean, this guy switched on a dime. Again, it had nothing to do with my presence. To me, it had everything to do with the fact that Mary intervened in that moment. Dan, comments?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think you brought up a great point is that we have to make sure, St. Paul says our weapons are not against flesh and blood. Oftentimes you get some big angry biker approaching you. Yeah, you've got to use a little bit of flesh and blood to keep your flesh and blood from landing up on the sidewalk, right? So, but at the same time, you want to go to the weapons, and you went to the right well. You got two bags you could have reached into. You could have reached into your kickboxing bag, which you did to some extent, but you reached into the most important, the spiritual weapons, which is the rosary and the invocation of the Blessed Mother. Another thing which ties into what I wanted to say too as well is that I'm assuming that most everyone I know and the Catholic circles that I roll in, we've all consecrated to the Blessed Mother. And so most Catholics, especially pro-life Catholics, are pretty hardcore Marian devotees and have consecrated to the Blessed Mother. There's another prayer on page 44 that could be prayed on a regular basis, if not daily. Because remember, what the demon has access to is oftentimes what the common ground between us is the temporal goods, stemming back from Adam, on dirt or mud you shall crawl and dirt you shall eat. And then man, from the sweat of your brow, you'll bring forth dirt from the earth. And so the fallen angels are thrown to the earth, and we have a commonality in the temporal goods, and they have a certain access to those. So what this prayer does, by doing the Marian consecration, you consecrate yourself to the Blessed Mother according to St. Louis de Montfort's formula. Strongly recommended for anybody engaged in spiritual warfare. Everyone should be consecrated to the Blessed Mother in these troubled times. This prayer is a prayer of consecration of one's exterior goods to the Blessed Virgin Mary. So you go through and it's using de Montfort's formula, but it's applying it specifically to your temporal goods. And so you could put, knowing that I have received rights over my exterior goods by the promulgation of the natural law by the divine author, I deliver and consecrate to thee as thy slave all my exterior goods, past, present, and future. I relinquish into thy hands, my heavenly mother, all rights over my exterior goods, including my health, finances, relationships, possessions, property, my job, my earthly success, and then you add anything here, my work with 40 Days for Life, my work in advocating for life, and fighting against abortion. Any work you do in the apostolate, consecrate it to the Blessed Mother. So if there is any so-called retaliation or any sort of mischief being wrought by any demons at home, as you alluded to, your home is consecrated to her. Your work in the ministry and the apostolate is consecrated to her. So if any diabolic force enters into your home against your will, then he's now going after the temporal goods that belong to the Blessed Mother, the family that has been consecrated to the Blessed Mother. If that makes sense, this removes this. This takes all the pressure off of us and places everything back. So when you do get hit with something, I just remind the spiritual realm that these things belong to the Virgin Mary, and you consecrate everything to her. They've been consecrated to her, and you remind the Blessed Mother, Mother, accept this consecration, and help me serve you in some of the most afflicted and poorest of the poor among us. So Marian consecration and consecrating your temporal goods to her is very effective. And then one last prayer.
Let me jump in, yeah, because here's a question from pro-lifers. Here's a question. And Steve, I hope you're on still. A lot of pro-life people involved in pro-life work, they oftentimes take holy water with them. How should it be used? Because sometimes I've seen people in the pro-life movement, they're sprinkling holy water on the building, inside the facility. Again, they don't have authority over that.
Right.
Not even natural law authority. And so I tell people, bless yourself with holy water. Pass it to the people around that are playing. You guys have rights, full authority over yourself. But for you to start blessing the building, you don't have the right to do that. And you're going to call upon retaliation. Am I right or wrong?
Yeah, you're correct. Because who's the natural law owner of that building? Well, the property owner. Whoever he is or she is, whatever corporation that owns it, which is often separate than the doctor himself and the clinic. And so you have this mixing of natural law rights. You have certain things that have been entrusted to the Bailey care legally by contract to the abortionist. And also, but the natural authority goes also to the landlord. And so you see this interplay, but either way, it's not you and it's not me. So you're better off safely using holy water, of course, is for us. It's we use it for our own protection in our area, sprinkling over ourselves, making the sign of cross over ourselves, protecting our senses from any diabolic projection, from, you know, protecting us, our bodies from receiving any curses, whether spoken or physically manually given. So I wouldn't recommend that. I wouldn't recommend it. A priest is down there.
Excellent.
Yeah. Steve, you have any questions for Dan? Because this is the guy to ask.
Yeah, basically, that was a great question because I have had people come out here with holy water as well. And we really need to know what our limitations are and what the normal procedure should be for using holy water and holy salt as well. So I wasn't completely aware of that either. So that's really great information for everybody.
You can sprinkle over yourself in your area all day long. That's you have actually every authority to do that.
Okay, so
but what you don't want to do is unnecessarily stir things up. You see what I mean? You just don't want to unnecessarily pick a fight. You know,
right.
Know what your weapons. When you use holy water against someone else or upon someone else, that's an offensive weapon. When you're sprinkling around yourself for your spiritual protection, it's defensive. It's a different orientation, but it's safer to use it this way. If that makes sense.
And Dan, explain to him what do you mean by when you use it offensively. What you're doing is basically you're pushing the demon, the diabolical, and you're asking for retaliation because you stepped out of your lane. I mean, Steve will understand this language. He's an ex-cop. You got to stay in your lane, correct, Dan?
Yeah, you got to stay in your lane of authority because, again, the first thing down the checklist is this person have requisite authority? Does this person have authority over this building to sprinkle holy water in this building? No. And so that you could, it won't happen every time, but you could be exposed to retaliation, or it could make you more vulnerable to the curses that are taking place against you. So you're better off safely using it for yourself in your area. Treat it no different than consider the abortion clinic. It's an infested place, no different than a possessed person in his infested body. So I wouldn't go into a session with a priest present or not present, I wouldn't sprinkle holy water over a possessed person because it's not this that I have no natural law or divine positive law rights over that body. Natural law and divine positive law rights over the body of this energumen is which is a possessed person is their spouse, their wife or their husband. That's who has the authority. And that's the only one that really should be touching them or imposing sacramentals upon them, unless, of course, the priest who has divine positive law authority over that soul deputed to him from the local bishop. If that makes sense. So a layperson should avoid those things. And the use of all these spiritual weapons are awesome. They're fantastic. But we have to just keep them within our lane of authority. The demon will gladly take a beating if he can draw you out of your authority. He will take a beating all day long if he can get you out of authority to expose you. And where you have authority, if he can get you to step out of authority, the area that you now – that you have spiritual authority and natural law authority over can now become suspect and open to diabolic retaliation, which is why oftentimes people that are retaliated against for doing excessive things in this ministry or the pro-life ministry, it comes back through their familial construct. It comes back in those areas. Oh, you want to step out of authority and you want to step out of your lane? I'm going to step into your lane now because you expose yourself. That's kind of the way the diabolic logic. So understanding the limits of that, but there's absolutely nothing wrong. For example, a hotel room, it's a great example. You can go into a hotel room. You don't own the hotel, but you do have some level of natural law authority in the hotel because you've paid for it. So you can sprinkle holy water and pray prayers for protection for yourself in that room.
Jesus 911. Steve, stick around so you can ask some more questions of Dr. Steiner. Stick around, Steve.
I will.
Three-man car. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, Soul Patrol, we got a three-man car. We got Steve Bettis, we got Dan Schneider, myself. Steve, go ahead and ask, this is the bright guy to ask any question regarding Catholic spiritual warfare. We got the encyclopedia right here, so go ahead and fire away.
Okay, great. Every morning I do, when I open the vigil here, I do a prayers of protection, and I use your book, Jesse, and at the end of the evening, I also do protection prayers as well. How long should I keep doing this? Because is this something I should just do every day now, or what would you suggest as far as protection from retaliation and things like of that nature.
Yeah, a couple of things. One, if you're actively in the apostolate, you probably should have some regimen of prayers. Remember also the principle that the demon responds to the discipline of prayer as much as he does to the prayers themselves. So having an orderly, disciplined prayer life is half the battle. It's like a fighter. You know, you can know all the punches in the world, you can have all the speed in the world, but if you don't have a regimen of exercise, you won't have the depth to be able to sustain. You won't have the gas tank, you know, to stay in the ring for the full fight. So the demon responds to the imposition of order as much as he does to the prayers themselves. That's a key principle in spiritual warfare. So having a regimen, particularly if you're a team leader group, you're out there on a regular basis, having a discipline of that, knowing that what you saw. Remember, if the demon shows up, it's because God is allowing it. So God let this incident occur so that you guys could see that you need to protect yourselves even better in your prayer. So one of the one that prayer against protection against curses, harm, and accidents, you might want to do that every day. Just it's a quick little prayer. There's another one you can pray as needed. It's the next following prayer on page 24. It's breaking curses of the occult. And it's I ask Jesus to bind in his most precious blood any and all evil curses, pacts, spells, etc. It's very short. And it says thrice or three times, because sometimes curses are laid down with a threefold bond or bind. This counteracts that by going through it threefold. And then again, consecration of your temporal goods. You might have just a set two or three prayers that you pray for protection for yourself and your family, and a consecration prayer on a regular basis for yourself and your family and your temporal goods, just for spiritual protection.
Steve, let me mention something. A prayer just for all Catholics. I mean, when you, it's like a fighter and stuff. When you're getting swarmed with punches, you just go back to what you can do best. You know, if it's an overhand right, left hook or something, you know, there's always a default move for you. The default move for every Catholic should always be the St. Michael the Archangel prayer. That's a deprecatory prayer. That's always safe. Most Catholics know that one. That can be prayed before, during, and after. Another good deprecatory prayer in spiritual warfare is the Anima Christi prayer, mm-hmm. the soul of Christ. That prayer says everything theologically that you need. You can do that prayer before, during, and after. So those are two prayers just off the top of my head that most Catholics already know by heart. They're always go-to prayers. They're always safe because they're deprecatory prayers. And a third thing I would also add as well, and you probably do it, is especially if you're out there praying in front of an abortion clinic, make sure that you have a sacramental on you, some blessed object around you, whether it's a miraculous medal, whether it's a bronze scapular, whether it's a St. Benedict's medal, the green scapular, the stone of St. Michael, whatever it is, make sure that you guys have, you know, the team, the serious prayer warriors, you guys are armored up with sacramentals, because those sacramentals actually give you actual grace, especially during a moment of temptation or a moment of an attack. Dan?
Yeah, absolutely. The sacramentals are absolutely critical in spiritual warfare. We should be covering our bodies with sacramentals, and don't be ridiculous about it. You don't look like Mr. T, but just having those are the basic sacramentals. You want to make sure you have them. They give your bodily protection. Prayers inside during, you know, when you're there, the St. And off session, the St. Michael chaplet is a very powerful one to pray. This is a heavier weapon. It's very good to use this one. You're invoking each choir of angels. And this is the chaplet I use. It's an as needed thing when you get stuck. You got to blow a bridge on a withdrawal because the enemy's bearing down on you. You thought you were encountering a platoon size a force, and next you know it's a battalion. And so you got to back out because you're in big trouble. So you're withdrawing. You got to blow a bridge. You know, this is the as needed when you got to move the needle fast. This is when I like to use the St. Michael one, the St. Michael chaplet. The rosary, of course, it needs to be something that we do on a daily basis. As Catholics, we should be praying that rosary every day. This is absolutely necessary. Okay. But having a disciplined set prayer time, getting up at the same time, saying the same prayers. If you're a night person, then it's at nighttime. I'm a morning person. I like to get up early in the morning and do my prayers. Stopping throughout the day, punctuating the day with visits to the Blessed Sacrament.
You know, so you're praying 3-4 times a day. Praying together as husband and wife is very important. And you'll notice one of the first temptations the demon's going to do is try to get you to stop to praying together or for each other. You get so focused on changing the world, you forget that God's going to hold you accountable for your home. So pray with your wife. Pray compline together, you know, night prayer, praying the Angelus is another powerful prayer, praying it for each other, 6, 12, and 6, offering just that small little prayer, the Angelus, for each other, praying together, small prayers, rosary, praying grace. Praying together is absolutely essential because that's what's going to keep us bonded. It's going to help solidify that sacramental grace that provides us protection. So do not neglect and let the enemy draw you away and think, oh, I've got my apostle out here, but my wife and my kids are over here. It's all together. See, grace is going to flow through your sacrament, which was marriage, presumably. So that's what grace flows. So don't let the demon draw you away and keep you from praying very even simple vocal prayers together.
Okay, that's
Steve,
one of the first
Steve, question.
He's actually done. Yes, that's one of the first things he's actually done is he just created strife at home and the prayer at home. We pray every night together before bedtime and even with our daughters as well every night. And he put me in a funk in such a way that I wasn't able to pray. I was really in a bad situation the other night and I was having a very difficult time. I really had to just pray and pray my rosary, and I do that every day, daily. So I know about these attacks, and it's hard for me to explain to people. Some people may not believe it, but it does happen. I've been under that heaviness. I feel it. It's pretty bad. It's but you know, thankfully I do have my scapular. I wear my I have a St. Michael's medal. I have my miraculous medal that I wear all the time, and I know I need these things. And even with all that, you know, he still manages to get some of his spears in, some of those darts he gets in. But, you know, I just have to hang in there and ask people to pray for me. And I don't want this to other leaders. I don't have to know what's going on.
Yeah, exactly. Another prayer that's not in the book, but it's a very effective prayer. You know, Jesse and I were strikers. He was a kickboxer and I was a boxer. So this ground stuff, this wrestling, this jujitsu stuff is weird, you know, and foreign to us. But we call the judo prayer. We learned from Kyle Clement, who was a master of spiritual warfare that we both trained under in Father Ripperger. It goes like this. When you're experiencing something, even if it's heaviness, if it's bodily pain, annoyances about this or that, or whatever your weakness is, the demon's going to hit it. It goes, it's very simple. Lord, I'm experiencing X. I mean, it could be heaviness, could be anger, could be anxiety, it could be uneasiness, it could be I'm experiencing strife in the home, I'm experiencing fear, back pain, knee pain, whatever. I'm experiencing X. If this is not from you and is diabolic in its origin, I ask you to send it back to its source with a tenfold blessing. If, however, Lord, you want me to carry this cross, I ask you for the grace to carry it. I willfully accept it. I ask you for the grace to carry it, and I offer it up for, and then offer it up for whatever intention, for the intention of the Blessed, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, for any woman that is considering an abortion going into the clinic today. It's abortion day. I offer it for that intention for this person that they would, you know, offer for your family, offer for the purification of the church, for your pastor, for your bishop. This is a great spiritual warfare prayer because, and if it's diabolic, it goes back to it. You've just sent it back to its source. If it's not diabolic, it's psychological. Or about diabolic, you've still asked for the grace to carry it. You've willfully accepted it, and you've now turned this as an offering of suffering to bring grace into the world and somewhere in the world that God has put on your heart to pray. That's a very effective way. Rather than just take a beating like you did the other night, you can turn it around, and God, you'll watch it dissipate very quickly. Jesse, you've told the story about yourself using this prayer and how effective it is.
Yeah, you taught me this probably about a year ago, Dan. I was having all of a sudden, for no reason, I was having vertigo, right, and I never had it before, right before I would get on radio. And, I mean, it was bad. It was to the point one day I had to get off the radio, and I just basically went to my bed almost started throwing up. And I said, you know what, if I wonder if this is a diabolical attack. The enemy doesn't like what I'm doing. And so I did what you told me. I did this prayer of protection for myself to repel demonic attacks, and here's what I did. Made the sign of the cross, grabbed the crucifix, looked at it. I did it 3 times. I said, Lord, I'm experiencing vertigo. If this is not of you, and if it's of diabolical origin, I ask you to send it back to its source with a tenfold blessing. But if you want me to carry this cross, I will accept it, and I ask you for the grace to carry it, and I offer it for the purification of Holy Mother Church, the purification of myself, my family, in Jesus' name, amen. I did that three times. I haven't had vertigo since I've done that. So that tells me that I was being diabolically attacked right before I started my radio shows. It hasn't come back since I did that prayer three times with a crucifix right in front of my hand and on my knees. And I did it with faith. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. Fantastic.
Steve, I'll send you that prayer. I'll send it to you.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Jesse. I appreciate you putting me on it. This is something that's really important that I think we all need to know.
Yeah, get the show and get the show and pass it on to other people. Pass it on to other people. Yeah.
And you're learning the rules of engagement. You guys are both law enforcement guys. You have to know the rules of engagement. The enemy doesn't want us to know the rules, but nowhere in the natural realm can you get away with ignorance of the law, right? Ignorance of the law is no excuse. You guys would say, I didn't know, officer, that it was only 35. I thought it was 45. I'm sorry. You're still going to get your ticket, right? Yeah. So the demon doesn't want to block us from knowing these rules. And so today we just try to go over these rules a little bit so that we can more effectively engage. You'll find that this will supercharge your prayer life, and it will provide a layer of protection by tapping into the authority that God has given you, but in a way that's done safely within our own construct as lay people.
God bless you guys. Thanks, Steve. Thanks for joining us today. Thanks, Dan. You've been listening to Jesus 911, All Things Spiritual Warfare here. If you like what you hear, then like us, hit the subscribe button, hit the bell to be notified, and share this show with others. This is the show where Jesus Christ is Lord, the Blessed Virgin Mary is our Queen Mother. Up next, Gary Machuda, Hands-On Apologetics from the Midwest Command Center. We're 10-7. We're out.